Hello, we're a band called Keen, and here's a song called Everybody's Changing. About it, I don't see how you can. You're aching, you're breaking, and I can see the pain in your eyes. Says everybody's changing, and I don't know why. So Silenced by the Night.
Close.
Hey everyone, this is Keane, and this is a song called The Sovereign Light Cafe.
I'm going back to a time when we owned this town. Down Powder Mill Lane in the battlegrounds, we were friends and lovers and clueless clowns. I didn't know I was finding out how I'd be torn from you. When we talked about things we were gonna do, we were wide-eyed dreamers and wise. By the lights of the Palace Arcade and watch night coming down on the Sovereign Light Cafe. I'm begging you for some sign, but you still got nothing to say. Don't turn your back on me, don't walk away. I'm a better man now than I was that day.
It's 88.5 KCSN and Connections. Our guests in studio are Keane, and we just heard one set of music. We've got some more coming up, and we've got Tom and Tim from the band. First of all, great to see you guys. It's been a little bit of a wait, I think, since the last time I saw you.
We were racking our brains trying to think when we last saw you.
It's got to be probably 4 years ago, something like that, maybe.
Oh.
Five?
The relentless onslaught of life.
Yeah. Right? Well. First of all, thanks for playing for us, as I said. And I guess we want to talk about the new album, but one of the songs you played for us in the first set was the very first song that I ever heard from you guys, which was released on an independent Fierce Panda at the time called Everybody's Changing. And it seems an apropos place to start with 4 years in between albums and people changing, growing as humans.
We wider in our case.
We hope, and well, you know, there's always exercise machines, Tom, you know, in those hours in between shows.
Well, I actually think that since we first met you, we probably got thinner, bizarrely.
Yeah, that's probably true, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know. Tim's amazing. Looking pretty skinny these days.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nick.
Different haircut.
I'll pay you later.
Different haircuts.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it. Let's talk about coming together again after a side project and little bits and pieces and deciding when you got together to write and record this new record, the fourth full length. Where were you guys at? What did you set out to do? Did you feel like you needed to change, shift, or was it just a natural progression?
I think there was definitely a sense of wanting to have a kind of not wanting to do anything at all until we had an undeniable set of songs that we were all really excited about. And it's a very hard thing to quantify. I suppose that's why music's so magical. You know, you never really can be sure what kind of what makes a great song, but it's I think we just had a feeling that we wanted to, that, well, you know, like you were saying, time kind of starts to slip by incredibly quickly, and you suddenly realize, oh, we're not like a new band anymore. On this sort of, you know, at some point in the future we'll be able to sort of start getting good at this. It's like, we better get on with it now.
Yeah, you're like, okay, we're 10 years in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scary.
Now, all of the Keen albums, in my impression anyway, have progressed. You guys have progressed as sonically, you've progressed, but you've also progressed as songwriters as you reflect, Tim, upon life and where you're at. And this one's called Strangeland. Does that have anything to do with the songs that are on here?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's again, I guess, a sense of being somewhere along a road, you know, and that's just life, I suppose. But, you know, it's kind of looking, I guess it's a kind of taking stock in terms of our lives. And, you know, maybe even in terms of the band as well. I suppose it's such a big part of our lives. But, yeah, just rather than feeling, you know, say you go back to Hopes and Fears, for example, you know, there's definitely a sense on that record of, like, oh, if, you know, if we can just get started, you know, get the ball rolling, if we just get a chance and we can set off on this journey. And now we're, what was that, you know, 8 years ago or something. And now this record, I think, is I think probably all of us as people are just starting to think about where we are on that journey through our lives. And all of the songs really are little kind of vignettes of, you know, looking at that journey in different ways, looking back to where we started with it and what we were thinking at the time and how that's panned out, or looking at the future and wondering whether that's going to be the way we thought it was. And yeah, so each song is a little different angle of looking at that journey, I suppose.
I read somewhere, Tim, where you were saying that you get as excited by textures as much as the actual songwriting, presuming you've read your biography and you know what I'm talking about.
That must be an old biography. Yeah. But it checks out.
Well, I mean, tell us about that. You know, thinking about songs and what is it that makes a song magic?
Well, that's a big question, isn't it? I wish I knew. there's definitely, whatever it is that makes a song magic is what we were chasing when we were making this record, and especially just going back to the start of writing it. And it's so hard to put your finger on it, but I think when the four of us kind of all feel that there's something electrifying about a song, especially just emotionally, you know, there's a kind of halo of emotion that just kind of lifts a song above the others. And it, you know, I never really know what it is that makes it do that, but when you get a song like that, those are the ones we wanted to have. 12 of those, or more than 12 hopefully, before we even started thinking about what to, you know, rehearse and record and so on. But yeah, it's, I think in talking about textures, it's probably that some sort of magical element or meeting of different elements that lifts the song into a different realm.
How do you feel about the fact that as you've been a songwriter now for this period of time, and as you look back and you're in that place of reflection, how has it shifted for you as a songwriter? Are you still coming from the same place? What's changed for you musically as well as lyrically?
Well, again, you know, it's a big question because it's such a big part of my life, sort of the kind of relentless pursuit of a good song or you know, a great song. And I've again, like I was saying, you know, there's a sense of just wanting to do something great somewhere along the line. And you know, I'm there are certainly songs we've done that I'm proud of, but it's very hard. You know, I don't know if it's just that we're too close to them, but I, as a music fan, I will still kind of put on a song that I love, or even just hear something on the radio and, you know, have that feeling of, God, you know, I will never be able to do something that good. Nothing I've ever written is like even a tenth as good as that. So it's, you know, it's a very, maybe that's just a sort of, torture myself too much, but I just wanted to make one. You know, I always want to have that great song, you know, somewhere I can just say I've done it, you know.
Is there a little doubt in there that drives you?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's just so much doubt. It's probably not very healthy, but I think...
it's not healthy.
It's completely unhealthy. But you've got to want it, I suppose. And, you know, the people that I love, you know, like Paul Simon is kind of my great kind of musical hero, a songwriting hero, and he still just works so hard at the craft of songwriting, you know, even now, and he's, you know, he doesn't need to.
Well, he probably does for himself.
Yeah,
I guess. As an artist.
Yeah.
It always interests me or intrigues me when I'm talking to artists, and you can tell the ones who have to do it, as opposed to the ones who are just like, okay, let's, you know, we'll do another song now. And I'm interested. I'm going to dig a little deeper on this. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
As a songwriter, well, I'm intrigued in the process when you sit down to craft a song. Do you give yourself hours? Do you keep a recorder or a voice memo thing with you that you can just keep ideas? I mean, what is that process for you? Are you constantly writing?
Yeah. It's interesting. There are lots of, well, my sort of methods of writing have become more varied over the years. You know, there are definitely days where I'll sort of sit down and just write and write for hours. And, you know, eventually something pretty good will tend to come out. And then I'll come back to it later. But I always have an old fashioned cassette dictaphone that I take everywhere with me. So I have to spend quite a lot of time normally on long flights, kind of sifting through these tapes of just me howling horribly. And, you know, in the search of some little germ of a great idea. So, you know, a lot of the songs come about that way. But another thing that I just started recently was actually with Jesse, who plays bass in the band, is this thing where you sit down and write solidly for 12 hours straight, and you have to try and write 20 songs in that 12 hours.
Wow!
And it's
no pressure.
Yeah, but it's amazingly productive, and actually probably about half of the songs for this album came from that. And so, you know, sometimes I'll have a song that takes me months and months to write, literally, or, you know, even years sometimes, from kind of conception to actually ending up being a finished thing. And then other songs, like, you know, Silence by the Night, which has ended up being the first single from the record, it is, you know, probably took like 5 minutes to write or something. So it's pretty hard to gauge what actually is a successful way of approaching that craft.
But I take it that that's a new thing for you, actually setting aside a chunk of time and just sitting there and saying, okay, we're going to write for the day.
Yeah. Yeah, generally. Although that's kind of by necessity in a way, because over the last few years we've been on tour so much, and finding the time to really focus on songwriting that way has been difficult. But, you know, again, I feel that maybe at times my songwriting has suffered because of that. There was certainly, you know, going back 10 years or more, you know, I was a kind of unemployed musician with nothing to do, basically. So I would get up in the morning and, you know, I was living with my mum and dad still in Sussex in England, and just kind of would get up and write for hours and hours because I didn't have anything to do. And most of the first album was written that way. So it is, I started to think, well, maybe it is just a question of actually putting the hours in and not expecting songs to just magically pop into my head while I'm walking down the street.
Expectations are everything, or lack of.
Yeah, I think, I guess it's, you know, different things work for different people, but there's a lot to be said for hard work.
So as you get ready now to head out again, Tom, I mean, you guys have obviously been having families and getting married and stuff like that. That happens to people, apparently,
yeah.
As you get older. You haven't gotten
You
haven't gotten to the divorces yet. That's the next that's the next album.
Phase three.
But as you're getting ready to get out and sing these songs, how are you feeling to be out and about at it again?
Yeah, I'm in a good space, very good space mentally. I think that, I mean, I think the sort of time that we've had, I mean, we had Perfect Symmetry, which was an album I absolutely adored and loved. It was quite a sort of complex record. And we sort of finished touring with that. And then we made the Night Train EP, which kind of was a bigger beast than we expected it to be. So it kind of took us on an unexpected journey.
Why an EP?
Well, it was 8 songs. I mean, it was pretty much enough to be an album. But
a mini album, yeah.
Yeah. The thing was, it was more because it was curiosities. It wasn't it wasn't so much a kind of cohesive set of songs as it was a kind of just odds and sods and, you know, bits that we...
Just pulling things together,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, exactly. And something we did
finding
for fun.
Finding a home for them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's right. That would be the best way of putting it. And yeah, I think we kind of... That sort of delayed, in a way, the start of making this album. But in some ways, that was probably a good thing. It just gave Tim a bit more breathing space in some ways. So, but I think my hunger was definitely, you know, right up there when it came to doing the singing, which I did mostly over December and January. You know, the songs were pretty complete, and I'd had them in my head for quite a while, and was raring to go in terms of singing them. So it all feels very fresh and exciting. And I think the fact that the songs are all kind of, well, pretty much all sort of 3.5 minutes long and very concise and very powerful emotionally, all appeals to me as a singer.
I'm wondering, I was listening to a couple of the songs a couple of weeks ago. Adam, your manager, played me a couple of the songs. And the first thing that I said to him, and I don't often pass comment, but it was something that jumped out to me, was... It seemed to me that your voice sat better in the mix on these songs than I've ever heard it before. Now, I'm presuming that has something to do with mixing and production as well, but do you have any comment on that?
That's really interesting. I think I'm singing better than I've ever sung before. I certainly feel like that. I think I kind of delivered the best performances for the recording of this album that I've ever done. You know, you learn a lot along the road, sort of, you know, not just from the experience of singing, but from the experience of living. And I think all that kind of emotional experience goes into how you go about singing those songs. And I don't know. I think also that the way that we approached making the record, it was more in the same way that we did Hopes and Fears. So Tim wrote, and then we kind of rehearsed the songs up into shape and recorded them as we went along. So it grew from a sort of a more natural place, rather than just going into the studio with finished songs and layering stuff all over them. And then kind of rehearsing them at the end into some kind of live shape. So I don't know. I think something about the way the songs grew to, you know, with us together as a band was very important for that. So I think that, yeah, I think it's a good point. I think they do sit really well in the songs. I really timid. Anything else to add to that?
Yeah, I think it's, well, I completely agree with what you said. Another thing that I think is probably helps with that is that we've, you know, you were talking about textures earlier, Nick, and I think that the, on this record, the kind of songs and Tom's voice and the kind of sonic textures of the music have really kind of come together, and actually, you know, all the elements are working in the same direction, which I think, you know, when we're at our best, you know, that's what happens. And it doesn't always happen. But I think on this album, it really felt like that. And I think that, you know, Tom's voice is worked so beautifully with the sounds that we've made as well, and the sounds work beautifully with Tom's voice, and both of those things work just right with the songs. And it's, you know, when all of those things come together, I think that's when our music can be magical.
I think one thing I remember we did an acoustic show at Largo here in LA a few years back, and we stripped all of the songs down to a very basic level, and just really it was just about the voice and the song itself. And so if there was and there was something very, very powerful about that. I think we all came away from it thinking, God, you know, this is really something, you know, this little session that we'd done. And so I think if there was a kind of manifesto of any kind, maybe, before coming into this album, it was songs and voice.
Make sure that was on the Perfect Symmetry tour, wasn't
yeah.
it? And it was like the polar opposite of what we were doing every night, you know, when we were playing the songs kind of in their full glory or whatever. And I remember John Bryan, who obviously does his thing at Largo and has his kind of studio right there, and he was there. In fact, he played with us, didn't he?
Mm, yeah.
But I remember him just saying, you know, you just need to record that for your next album. And so, yeah, like Tom says, that kind of lodged in our brains.
Yeah.
It's interesting how you can get, obviously with success, you have more options and you can get carried away with layering stuff on and building stuff and, you know, spending time in the studio, sort of just, you know, making it as great as it can be. But when you think about a song in its purest form as the instrument that it's written on, piano, and your voice, was that something that came out of that session that you felt, okay, let's keep it simple, let's just keep it basic?
Yeah, definitely. And also a sense that if you, you know, however the songs turn out, that if you could strip it back to be, you know, even like just Tom singing on his own with no accompaniment, I think with a great song, you almost don't need anything at all apart from the words and the melody. And if you take a song back to that basic sound and it's not still sounding great, then you've got a problem. So or at least it's not, you know, not the kind of quality that we're aiming for. And I think there are certainly elements of Perfect Symmetry that I've felt like the songs probably wouldn't, you know, were kind of being supported, required to be supported by the production too much. You know, again, that's just the basic fundamental thing of making sure that the new songs were, you know, really as great as they could possibly be.
Well, looking forward to seeing you guys out on the road again this year, playing some old ones, but obviously the new stuff as well. The new album is called Strange Land, and I want to thank Tom and Tim and Richard and Jesse, of course, the other members of Keen, for performing for us. We'll go back to our second set, and congratulations. The new album's called Strange Land. Thanks for talking with us.
Thanks a lot, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Oh, sorry. Okay, this is Keen, and this is called On the Road.
Just
All right, this is Keen, and this is The Starting Line. This town was a lover's stage, but now you can't recognize the streetlights that are daggers to your eyes. You can't find your bearings, you're slipping into the ground. The scene has no color and no sound. Do you still believe in me? After the things I've done, do you fear for what we have become? The ground is uneven, stumble from day to day, but shelter where it's easy. I know your feet are like lead, but you gotta get underway. Drag your heart up to the stars. Get the ghosts that make you old before your time. It's too easy to get left behind. I know you've been kicked around, but tie up your thoughts and lay them down on me. Is a paper kite blown around by the breeze. Love won't rest till it brings you to your knees. Some find it easy, some will never even know. You think you've done your journey, then you stumble and find that there's such a long way. Fall so low, we're gonna find a better life. I know things will be clearer as soon as we make a start. We'll be that much nearer. We're too old to just stand here waiting to break apart. Drag your heart up.